Hello and welcome back to Bases Loaded. I am your host, Eric Ellefson, and on this week's episode, we have a March Madness Final Four preview for both the men's and women's tournament, and a very early MLB season recap as the season officially kicked off last Thursday. And so we are about 3 to 5 games in for teams, depending on, you know, scheduling. There were some rainouts, postponements on Thursday opening day between the Mets and Brewers in New York, and then the Phillies Braves in Philadelphia. Those were both made up on Friday, so not, too big of a deal early on the season, as they had, they were going to be off Friday anyway, so they were able to just, you know, use that day off as the makeup day. We'll go a little bit more into that when we get to that part of the show. But diving right into, March Madness, the big, you know, sporting event currently going on at the moment in the sporting world. We had, the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight for both the men's and women's tournament this past weekend, with the men's side for the Final Four. We have number one seed Purdue facing 11 seed North Carolina State. And then the later game is number one seed and number one overall seed Connecticut playing 4 seed Alabama. So we have Purdue NC State's at 5:09 on Saturday, and then Alabama and UConn is at 7:49. Those are, like, you know, the start times as of now, but, you know, if that first game goes into overtime or something like that, then, you know, that'll postpone the second game, because that usually starts about 25 minutes after the completion of the first game. Usually, it's usually around that time. Definitely some intriguing matchups. The number one seeds, Purdue and UConn are obviously the heavy favorites. Purdue is an 8.5-point favorite. And then Connecticut is an 11.5-point favorite, according to ESPN Bet. Which, makes pretty much sense. Those are, have been, pretty much the two best teams in all of men's college basketball, this season. UConn trying to be the first, back-to-back champion since the University of Florida in 06 and 07, I believe, are the years. Just winning it once is already hard enough, because, you had to win 6 games, in a row over 3 weekends, in different, parts of the country you're playing your games. So it's not an easy test to even just win it once. Since the tournament expanded to 64 teams, I believe it was in the 80s. I believe late 80s, early 90s, that it expanded to 64 teams. It's like when it first started, like the first couple of years, it was like only 8 teams. We're definitely a lot higher, teams involved, more teams. So it's a little bit more challenging. Get more teams, and that's how you get, an 11 seed like NC State in the Final Four. For their first time, and I believe since like 88 or something like that, it's been a while. And then Alabama making their first ever trip to the Final Four. Most will know Alabama as, being a football, university, with all this, championships they won under Nick Saban, who retired after this past season. So we'll see how that your football program, can rebound from that. But so we had, Thursday, you know, we had your Sweet 16, Thursday, Friday, Sweet 16 games, you know. So I guess, yeah, NC State beat number 2 seed Marquette 67-58. Purdue beat Gonzaga. Duke beat the number 1 seed in their region, Houston. Tennessee beat Creighton. Those are Friday's games, Thursday's games. 6 seed Clemson beat 2 seed Arizona. UConn beat 5 seed San Diego State by 30 points. Alabama beat number 1 seed in their region, North Carolina, by 2 points, 89-87. And then 3 seeded Illinois beat number 2 seed Iowa State, 72-69. And for Elite Eight, UConn, again, continuing their dominant run of the tournament, beat 3 seeded Illinois, 77-52. And Alabama beat Clemson 89 to 82. And then the final Elite Eight games on Sunday, we had Purdue beating 2 seed Tennessee 72-66, and then NC State beating ACC rival Duke 76-64. So we had, like, you know, two pretty competitive Elite Eight games, and then two that were, like, I mean, one that was really not competitive and one that kind of got, you know, less competitive, like, you know, with, like, you know, 4 minutes left of the second half. I mean, that best game was probably Tennessee-Purdue. It was, like, I don't think it was tied. I think Purdue may have had, like, a 2-point lead or something like that at halftime, so it was pretty darn close. Which is, you know, what you hope for, and it's kind of expect, you know, when you have an Elite Eight matchup of the 1 and 2 seeds in the region. You know, you're hoping for a close game, and it was a close game. You know, we're, like, you know, the 1-3 in the East region with, you know, number 1 overall seed UConn, you know, beat Illinois by 25. But, I mean, you know, they beat UConn beat San Diego State by 30 the previous game, so, like, they're kind of on a run. I think they've won all 4 of their tournament games so far by double digits. I don't know if I don't think they'll beat Alabama by double digits. I mean, it's definitely possible. It depends on how, you know, competitive Alabama can stay in. If they can keep it, you know, within single digits by halftime, you know, and at least buy them some of a chance, and, you know, keep them within striking distance at least of UConn, they can definitely, you know, pull off that upset. But, you know, pretty much everyone who's played Alabama or UConn this tournament has needed, you know, to play a perfect game. And no one has, you know, been up to the task so far. I mean, Illinois, you know, was probably the team people thought should give them a little competitive game, and then, you know, they lost by 25. And, you know, Alabama's played some pretty, you know, close games. Definitely in that second week of their Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games, you know. Let's see where them winning by combined, let's see, that would be 9 points. Yeah, 9 points. So definitely more competitive is, you know, UConn beating, you know, their second round or second weekend matchups, you know, Sweet 16 Elite Eight by, you know, 55 points. And so I think that'll be a little bit more competitive of a game. At least, you know, if you're looking, like, on paper, you know, you're thinking of a 1 seed versus 4s, you know, will be more competitive than a 1 versus an 11 seed. But, I mean, Purdue, NC State will be, you know, very interesting to watch. And that's just kind of like, you know, once you get to, like, the Elite Eight, like, you can watch, like, you know, one game pretty much at a time. Like, you're not like having, you not get the option to watch like multiple games at once. You can kind of, I guess, not so like that you focus your energy on like, you know, the one, you know, game in its entirety, as opposed to like another, you know, game where it's like, you know, one of them is not as competitive, so you kind of like, you know, maybe not pay attention to that one as much. It's like, you know, maybe you're checking the story every once in a while, but you know, you're pretty much, the game is pretty much over, so not much to pay attention to. But I mean, NC State's been on quite the run. I don't know, is there, can I get like a roster? Maybe if I click on that, that might help. Roster, there we go. That'll help a lot. I mean, they're. Let's see, it's basketball, so I believe that's their front court. Yeah, front court's like your forwards and centers. So, I mean, NC State, you know, front court, I mean, well, it says four, but I think, so then they must play three guards and two forwards, I guess. NC State. Okay. I mean, most common you'll play two guards, two forwards, and a center, but, like, some will bring out, like, you know, three guards and then two forwards. It kind of depends, you know, what offense you run, you're going to, you know, run and defense setup. But, I mean, their front court, DJ Burns Jr. and Mohamed Diarra, probably pronounced that wrong, I'm sorry. I mean, they're both, I mean, Burns is 6'9", Mohamed is 6'10". So, I mean, they're not the same, like, height, you know, as ED. Is he listed at 7'5 or 7'4? 7'4. So, you know, they have, you know, the height advantage in that regards for, you know, ED and Purdue. But it makes it a little bit kind of easier to double team him in the post, you know, using at least some height, as opposed, you know, being the, you know, 6'10-ish range, as to having, you know, one forward at like 6'10 and the other is like, you know, maybe 6'7. So, you know, it's still a decent amount of height to just kind of like, you know, back in the post and do like a little hook shot or kind of, you know, soft touch, you know, shot into the basket. But, you know, that'll probably be the, you know, a key matchup. Definitely down in the post for that game. I mean, Neutron's just crazy, you know. I obviously did across the board. I mean, you know, they are the number one overall seed, but like, Purdue's played, you know, a lot better. You know, last, you know, March Madness, they became the second one seed to ever lose to a 16 seed. And now, you know, they're trying to do what Virginia did all those years ago, where they lost, as a number one seed to a 16 seed in, I believe, 2018, and then 2019 they won the whole thing, you know, national champion. So Purdue is trying, you know, become the second, you know, I mean, they were the second one seed to lose, but, you know, they can also be the second one seed ever to, you know, lose to a 16 seed the previous tournament and then come back and win it all the next season. You know, I think, I mean, the dream matchup, you know, is Purdue-UConn for, you know, all the marbles. But, I mean, they can't take these opponents, you know, too lightly, or, you know, they'll end up as another, you know, win in the column for these, you know, two teams that are in the Final Four that, you know, weren't expected to be. I mean, Alabama's a top four seed, so, I mean, that's, like, probably a little bit more, not as a shock as NC State being 11th seed. But, I mean, you know, we've had double-digit seeds in the past make it to the Final Four. They're usually, yeah, in that 11 to 12 range. We never had anyone higher than that, because, like, the 16 seeds, you know, all but on two occasions have lost. to the one seeds, you know, 15 seeds. You know, they do beat a 2 seed every now and then, but, like, you know, they might make it to the Sweet 16, but that's usually kind of where it ends for them. So that's, you know, what I'm hoping. I think, you know, if Purdue and UConn play as, you know, had they been playing all tournament long, you know, they should pretty much, you know, not, like, fully coast into the national championship game, but, like, you know, at least comfortably, you know, secure a national championship spot. And then that game is, the national championship game is Monday night. It's usually around, it's like 7-ish, 30-ish, somewhere around there they start. Maybe it's like 7:09. It is a national championship game. And it's in Phoenix, Final Four's in Phoenix this year. So, I mean, where I am in Central Time Zone, you know, they're an hour behind. So it might be a little later here, and then, you know, even later on the East Coast. But it should be good. It should be fun, you know. It's March Madness. It's always a fun time, you know, to watch and just see, enjoy, you know, hopefully some really good Final Four games. And then transitioning to the women's side, we have both Final Four matchups are a 3 seed against the 1 seed. We have NC State again making it to the Final Four in both the men's and women's tournament, taking on number one overall seed South Carolina, undefeated South Carolina. That is at 6 o'clock on Friday night. And then in the other Final Four, 3-seeded UConn takes on number 1-seed Iowa, and that is it, scheduled for 8 o'clock on Friday night. South Carolina is 11.5-point favorites, and Iowa is 2.5-point favorites, also by ESPN Bet. So, and those are Friday, yeah, Friday. Because you would think, you know, March, I mean, throughout the tournament, like, the women's start their games, like, the day after the men's, so, like, you know, opening round, first round games for the men start Thursday. For the women's, they start Friday. And then, you know, Friday and Saturday are the first round games, Saturday, and then Sunday, Monday are, you know, the second round games. And then same thing for the next weekend. Friday, Saturday are Sweet 16, and then Sunday, Monday, Elite Eight. And for some reason, you know, the Final Four for the women's is the day before the men's, and then the national championship is the day before the men's. So I don't know why that is the case. You know, probably someone, you know, that watches a little bit more women's college basketball than me, or more, a lot more women's college basketball than me, would be able to find out. So let's see. No, Friday. So I just how the Final Four teams got there. South Carolina beat, you know, Indiana, 4 seeds, 79-75. NC State beat 2 seed Stanford, 77-67. Then South Carolina beat Oregon State, 70-58. And then NC State beat number 1 seed Texas, 76-66. And then for the other, UConn and Iowa. Iowa beat 5 seed Colorado, 89-68. UConn beat Duke, 53-45. That's a pretty low scoring game. And then last night, UConn beat number 1 seed USC, 80-73. And then Iowa beat LSU in a rematch of last year's national championship, 94-87. So, I guess I'm hoping for Iowa and then NC State to win. But, I mean, UConn and Iowa will be, you know, definitely, I mean, they'll both be pretty good matchups, you know, UConn or NC State, seeing if, you know, they can beat you know, do what no team has done this year and beat South Carolina. And, you know, what a better way to do it than in a Final Four game. You know, the 2014-15 season, you know, Kentucky was undefeated. And then they lost to, you know, one-seeded Wisconsin, beat them in the Final Four game and ended their perfect season. So, you know, NC State can definitely do the same. And then Iowa and UConn, you know, a really great, you know, backcourt matchup between Caitlin Clark of Iowa and Paige. I want to say it's like Buters, I believe I pronounce it right, of UConn. I mean, who, you know, if there wasn't Caitlin Clark these past 2 years, you know, we'd probably be talking about her or, you know, Paige as a possible, you know, number one overall pick in the WNBA draft. Because, I mean, you go to UConn, you're obviously really good. You know, UConn, a 3 seed this year, you know, not up to, like, you know, their usual, you know, 1 seed, you know, number one overall seed, you know, also being undefeated type thing. But I think Paige definitely had some injuries previous seasons. You know, we also had COVID season. So I think, you know, that COVID season probably gave her an extra year of eligibility. I believe probably, maybe, I don't know how old, but I mean, that'd probably be my best guess is that, yeah, she was gifted another year of college eligibility because of the COVID season that was shortened in 2020 or 2019 to 2020 season, I should say. Those Final Four games, yeah, Friday night, and then the national championship game, I believe, is Sunday afternoon. I believe is when they do their national championship game for the women's tournament. You know, as much as I want to watch, you know, the Iowa game, you know, and I'm rooting for Iowa, you know, I picked them to win in, you know, my men's, my women's bracket, you know, to win it all. I mean, I picked them last year to win it all, but, you know, that's okay. You know, this year's the chance. This year, they just want to do it this year, you know, to win it all. But, I mean, I didn't watch the Elite Eight game last night. I mean, I wasn't able to because I was at singing practice. And the game started at 6. I checked it, you know, before I went over to practice. And I checked it, like, before we officially started rehearsal. And then, you know, I didn't check the score until I got back, you know, at, like, 9-ish. And, you know, by then the game was over. So, and I had to scroll down a little bit because it wasn't, like, on ESPN because it wasn't, like, front on there. I think they had the USC UConn game store above it because it was, you know, going on, and it wasn't like on, like, the top, like, you know, headlines that ESPN does where, like, they have, like, some top headlines and, you know, the bottom ones, like, their ESPN an ESPN Plus article. So I had to do a little bit scrolling down, but then, yeah, I saw the store, so that was pretty fun. You know, they beat LSU, you know, bye bye LSU, and, you know, good riddance. So I don't know, like, I'm torn because I want to watch it, but I haven't really watched any other games. I mean, I watched, like, the last couple minutes of their second round matchup against West Virginia last Monday night, because by the time I got back from practice, the game was still going on. Kind of a stare, you know. Iowa, it was, like, tied with 2 minutes to go. But, you know, they held down, locked up on defense a little bit. And then, I mean, West Virginia, you know, missed some shots. They had opportunities and then, you know, couldn't capitalize on their shots to, you know, take down the number one seed of their region. And, you know, Iowa won, and then they won the next games, and now they're back to the Final Four for back-to-back consecutive years. So we'll see how it goes. I want to watch it, but like at the same time, like I haven't watched much of the previous games, and you know they've won them all so far. So, you know, sports people are very superstitious in that way, where it's like, you know, I didn't watch the game last night and they won, so therefore, if I won't watch tonight, they'll win also. You know, that type of stuff. But you know, we'll definitely, you know, talk about both Final Four games and National Championship games on next week's episode, you know. Because, I mean, if I, you know, watch, whether I watch them live or, you know, what is it? I mean, you know, I'll probably post, you know, game highlights or full game highlights on, like, YouTube or something like that, so... Yeah, on YouTube. I mean, yeah, it'd probably be under, like, you know, the NCAA, you know, YouTube page and not, like, ESPN or something like that. But, you know, so there are ways to, like, you know, watch it afterwards and try to, like, you know, do a little bit more analysis and kind of look at it from that point. Whether, you know, I watched it or not. So, now, you know, we'll transition to, you know, baseball, early baseball season. Like I said, you know, season started last Thursday, you know, officially for most teams. We're, you know, about five games in for most teams, you know, around there, maybe four, at least four, if not five games. You know, early season story, or like, I mean, not even like early season, like very, very early, you know, season stuff happening. I mean, we had, last night we had the first no hitter of the 2024 season, from the, Astros right-hand pitcher Ronel Blanco. First no-hitter of 2024 in what was his eighth MLB start. So that's kind of, you know, surprising that, you know, the first no-hitter was this early into the season. You know, sometimes, you know, if he would have taken to like the seventh inning, you know, went like maybe 7 2/3 inning or went to the eighth, had a no-hitter after seven innings, you know, then I could believe this early, but like to have a no hitter this early into the season, you know, is definitely pretty, you know, shocking. But, you know, not like incredibly shocking, because, like, you know, in the sports world, like, you know, anything could happen any given day, you know. Someone, you know, can throw a no-hitter. Someone can hit four home runs in a game. Someone can drop 70 points for basketballs, you know. Throw, you know, 500 yards and, you know, seven touchdowns. So, I mean, it's possible each and every day for something like that to happen, you know, just early in the season. A little surprising. You know, we had a first, you know, benches clearing, you know, moment in, you know, Friday, that first game between the Brewers and Mets in New York. Rhys Hoskins, you know, slid not like incredibly, you know, hard, but like slid past the base and kind of like, you know, a little bit where, like, you know, it rubbed, you know, I think it was the Mets, I don't think it might have been their second baseman, so I don't know if that is, because their shortstop would be, you know, Francisco Lindor. So that happened, and then, you know, Saturday, a Mets pitcher, I think, threw behind Rhys Hoskins and then, you know, got thrown out, and I think it was announced either Sunday or yesterday, suspended for that. I think three games. I think the Mets manager was suspended for one game. So, you know, already getting a little spicy in that regards to the start of the season. You know, the big offseason signing, Shohei Ohtani with the Dodgers. You know, hasn't hit any home runs yet. You know, has driven some runs at the plate. Nothing like, you know, crazy as we've seen in the past. You know, at least not yet. Like, you know, we're five games in, so like, to have like, for him to, you know, be super crazy to start the season, you know, I mean, kind of more of like, you know, we're just expecting that to happen from him at this point. But, you know, nothing yet. But, you know, he'll hit up, you know, like 40 home runs or whatever and drive in, you know, close to 100 and all that kind of stuff. So, we know what's going to happen. Will it stand? But I mean, more so like, wow, Pittsburgh Pirates are undefeated 5-0. The NL East is off to a very rough start, other than, you know, the Braves, who are 3-1. You know, the Phillies are 1-3. Mets are 0-4. Marlins are 0-5. And then the Nationals are also 1-3. You know, Dodgers in the NL West, no surprise, 5-2. You know, everyone else. Defending National League champion Arizona Diamondbacks are 3-2. You know, they play fine. Well, the Dodgers played 7 yeah, because they played that, you know, two-game series in South Korea. It was like 2 weeks ago from like today or tomorrow. So they played, you know, two more games than, well, them and the Padres have played two more games than most teams at least. Yankees are 5-0, Baltimore 3-1, Boston 3-2, and then Tampa Bay and Toronto 2-3. Detroit Tigers are 4-0, Minnesota's 2-1, Cleveland's 3-2, Kansas City Royals 1-3, and then White Sox are 0-4. Defending World Series champions Texas Rangers are 3-1, Seattle Mariners 3-2. LA Angels 2-2. Houston Astros are surprisingly 1-4. And Oakland Athletics are 1-4. And then going to the NL Central, like, yeah, Pirates are 5-0, Brewers 3-0, Reds 3-1, Cubs 2-2, and then Cardinals are 2-3. But, you know, like I said, like, it is very early in the season, so like, the Pirates aren't gonna be undefeated for very long. I mean, neither are the, you know, Detroit Tigers. You know, the Oakland or the Houston Astros aren't going to be 1-4 or below 500, you know. So, I mean, like, the Mets aren't going to be below, you know, 0-4. Like, they'll be 500, you know, probably at least somewhere in that range. You know, so it's just like, yeah, if, you know, your team is doing good, you know, to start the season, you know, hopefully optimistic. You know, we are only like, you know, 4-5 games into the season, so, you know, if your team is undefeated or like really good, you know, enjoy it, because, you know, the baseball season is so long. You know, some teams, you know, will be playing their fifth or sixth game today out of 162, so it's a long marathon, you know, to the playoffs, you know, come, you know, early October. So we just had, you know, like, whistled there for a little bit. You know, let's just strap in and enjoy it, because it's going to be a wild ride, you know, of what was it, 5-6 months till the playoffs. So that's kind of like early, you know, some early kind of headlines from opening, you know, weekend type of thing, you know, a little early, you know, season, you know, standings and where teams are. So, you know, if your team is like, you know, supposed to be a contender and like, you know, they're below 500, you know, it is only, you know, opening weekend. You know, if they're still close, you know, below 500 or like close to 500 come like, you know, beginning of June, mid-June, then, you know, that might be a little worrying. But, like, you know, at this time of the year, you know, it's really nothing than, you know, very early, you know, season, you know, headline, be like, oh, that's interesting, like, you know, a team like the Houston Astros, you know, who have been to like the ALCS like, what is it, like 6 or 7 years in a row now, or like, you know, 1-4, or like a team that's supposed to be like a rebuilding, you know, like the Tigers or the Pirates. I mean, the Pirates had like, you know, the number one overall pick last year in last year's draft for them to be, you know, 5-0. So, you know, stuff like that, you know, just kind of take it, you know, a little grain of salt at this point, and just kind of like, you know, don't put on like, you know, no need to worry, like, you know, at this point, no need to panic. You know, like I said, like, you know, mid-June in this case, and maybe start worrying a little bit, but, you know, very early in the season, you know, at that. So that pretty much, you know, wraps up, you know, what I had on, you know, the list of topics for this week. You know, next week, like I said, we'll recap the Final Four National Championship for men's and women's college basketball. Probably do some NBA, as that'll be, what's it, the 2nd, so next week, yeah, the 9th, will be, you know, the last week of the season, because the play-in tournament starts April 16th, and then the playoffs, like, official playoffs, oh boy, are probably that 22nd or 23rd, maybe that Sunday or Saturday, something like that will probably be the start of the season or playoff. So, you know, we're like, you know, less than 2 weeks to go for the regular season. So I'll kind of preview where teams are, you know, at that point. And, you know, we will go from there and maybe do a little bit more baseball. Probably won't do a whole lot of football until we get to, like, you know, maybe the week after that, because then the draft will be the, you know, 25th, so that'll be like, and recording the show will be that Tuesday the 16th, so like we'll have like, you know, some time in between there to do like, you know, draft stuff, if anything, like, you know, any pre-draft trades happen or anything like that. As you know, we are like 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks away. So that wraps up, you know, this week's episode. And so thank you for listening, and I will see you next time. Goodbye.